You're tuned to Katie and Kay, and this afternoon we have Eden Vardy and Cooper Means from Farm Collaborative joining Let's Talk with Jill Rubin.
Thank you, Raleigh. Hey, Katie and Kay listeners, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk, a show where we come together as locals and share our stories about our lives that are lived right here in the Roaring Fork Valley. I am Jill Rubin, your host. Our guest today, it's really special for me to have Eden Vardy and Cooper Means from Farm Collaborative, formerly known as Aspen Tree. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. You know, there's so many things to talk about when it comes to our food, and having the two of you here today to tell the stories of Farm Collaborative and what it means for our community and really the world over, plus it's great conversations as well. Eden, let's start with you. You are the founder and executive director of Farm Collaborative. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Tell us about your personal story. How did you come to be founder and executive director of Farm Collaborative? A little background on yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Roaring Fork Valley, and just having such a strong connection and love for our mountains, our community, and our space, I really, all through kind of my young adult years, I really wanted to come back home and do something here for the community. I studied environmental sciences and environmental studies in university, and felt that the tone of environmentalism tended to be very negative and heavy, and just didn't quite give me a sense of connection that I could really feel the capacity to grab onto, and then kind of just reconnected with my roots in agriculture and my connection to food from my parents, and found that food is such a tangible and lovely way to work with environmental challenges, namely climate change, because it connects us as a community and reduces and reverses the impacts of climate change. So kind of became my career pathway and was the birth of Farm Collaborative.
And your family, you brought up your family, which I know of your father and your mother. I've met them several times. And your culture of food around the table and so forth. Can you tell us a little bit of that background? Because it's one thing to study it, but it's another thing to just have that in your DNA and the love for eating and food and all of that.
So as a Middle Eastern born child, I was actually born in Israel. Food was always the origin of and the foundation of our family and our culture and our community. And we'd come together every week, but also every night around food. And it was really the thing that bound us as a family. And so growing up, it was that which was kind of when I thought of family, I thought of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So then you went on to university and you started studying how it works. And then you learned all about it. And then you came back. Is that what you said? I'm sorry. You came back to the Valley. You studied elsewhere.
So I studied sustainable food systems at the Evergreen State College. And then I did my master's degree in integrated eco-social design with a focus on regenerative leadership and nonprofit management through Gaia University International. And the common thread through them led me to see food as kind of our pathway. And so, yes, I did come back home after traveling in Asia. And actually, most of my learning was in the field post or through university in more traditional cultures across Asia and Israel and the Middle East.
And so the vision was born, the vision of Aspen Tree, which I'd like to talk a little bit about because we have changed the name recently. And we want to make sure our listeners understand that Aspen Tree is now Farm Collaborative. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So before I touch on that, in terms of the vision being born, the vision is continuing to be born, and it's certainly not just a project that's mine. It very much is a project of our team and of our community. We have Cooper here, who's been with the Farm Collaborative almost from day one. He was actually our first intern when he was still in high school, and is now our agriculture director. And I'd say that very, very much the heart and soul of what happens out at the farm. And there are few decisions that are made that aren't either Cooper's or that Cooper and I kind of incubate together. So just when we're talking about the vision being born, it's something that really is a group and community effort.
And the work involved is a group and community effort as well.
Absolutely, and you know from our volunteer day a couple weeks
ago. I do. Full disclosure, everybody, I have volunteered, and I have volunteered on the farm, and I've also volunteered at the annual dinner, which if you'd like to tell our folks about that. Every year there's a big annual dinner that is born to do what?
So the farm-to-table free community meal takes place every year. It usually is actually 2 days before Thanksgiving. This year is going to be exactly 1 week before Thanksgiving, so we're changing the date slightly to get a little bit more of our local community engaged, since a lot of folks travel for the week of Thanksgiving. And the idea of the farm-to-table community meal is to really bring everyone together, all socioeconomic backgrounds, around a meal filled with gratitude and appreciation for that which nourishes us in our community, and to celebrate the bounty of our local farmers. Every year we feed about 1,500 people, and it takes about 236 volunteers on average to put it on. So it really is a community production.
I loved it. I loved it. Cooper, I'm going to come on to you now. Is it fair to call you Chief Farmer?
I suppose you could call me whatever you wanted.
Yeah,
Chief, that works.
Chief Farmer, I think it's a great title for you. Now, let's talk a little bit about your journey as well. You're a local, born, raised here in the Aspen Valley, educated here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yep, born and raised in the Roanoke Valley. And apart from my kind of conventional schooling, I really began my journey into agriculture at the Aspen Community School. In the very early days of sustainable settings, when their campus was sharing land with the Aspen Community School, and that was in the late 90s, and so actually on recess, everyone would be on the monkey bars, and I would go up and look at the ducks in the pond and check out what was going on in the garden, and then got the opportunity in fourth grade to do a mentor apprenticeship with sustainable settings, and recall a kind of a light bulb in my head moment when I was eating fresh Brussels sprouts out of the garden, and kind of just knew that this is what I wanted to commit my life to.
In the fourth grade.
And so kind of from then on, I continued pursuing as many kind of educational opportunities. And my sophomore year of high school, junior year maybe, called up Eden, because I just like heard of him through a mutual friend that he was doing some cool stuff, and so called him up and tried to see how I could get involved with that. And since, I have worked with most of the farmers in the valley. Worked a good bit with Joe Mosentowski at the Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute. Continue to have pretty close relationships with Brooke and Rose at Sustainable Settings, and so yeah, that was kind of my journey. And then I went out to Grand Junction and made an effort at starting my own farm. And all the growing went very successfully, but the marketing and distribution failed. And so the farm failed. Yeah. Not a failure, but we did not achieve the success we were looking for. And that kind of brought me to the journey that I pursued in college, which was figuring out how a local food system can be more supportive and a local community can be more supportive of the farmer. So I studied local food systems design at Prescott College in Arizona, and then came back here and immediately got arrested and did some community service with the Farm Collaborative, or what was Aspen Tree. And I guess I did pretty well, because Eden then immediately asked me if I wanted to stay and manage the farm park. And so that kind of, it was a really cool transition. I kind of immediately, after college, went into exactly what I envisioned.
Wow.
So it was a very, it was really cool kind of, maybe sort of a jaded path that I've kind of been falling in with all these fantastic influences that have, and mentors, and then really taken this sort of, I see it as like a lubricated path to exactly what I want to do.
And to both of you, do you see as much as I do the growth of what is happening? I mean, I know there's major challenges with land and getting areas to farm and so forth, but the growth, the education part of it, which we'll get into, Eden, you seem to be on the forefront of what it means to farm our own food, and to now the marketing and the distribution. Can you talk a little bit about where we are today with all of that versus when you first started?
Sure. So in terms of being on the forefront, we're actually just remembering what we've been doing for a very long time. You know, farming has been the heart of civilization. Food is what brought us together from day one, or from when we first came out of our own pathways and became a community and a culture. And the transition really is now is finding ways to engage young people into agriculture, because the average age of our farmer today is 59 years old.
Oh.
And in our region, it's actually 65.
Oh.
So we are very quickly running out of farmers. In fact, there was some report that came out recently that if we don't find a way to incubate young farmers, we have about a decade left of being able to support to support our own food supply, and then we'd rely externally. So it's very timely and very important that we start to explore methods for engaging young people. And it's a very difficult pathway for young people to engage in. The average farmer with 10 years of experience or less today makes about $25,000 a year. So there's not a lot of kind of financial incentive to get into it. And so I think really the part that we fit in and the part that we're seeing is this new wave of community-based agriculture and community kind of supported farmers, where the community and farmers are standing together and kind of sharing the risk, if you will, of stepping into the field. And this groundswell that we have in the Roaring Fork Valley of support for our community farmers is what's allowing young people to get engaged. We have so many great programs, from Pickens County Open Space and Trails, which is making accessible land leases to farmers, including Cooper, who also, outside of the Farm Collaborative, has Shining Mountain Farms that's on Pickens County Open Space and Trails, as well as AVLT that's doing great work in preserving and conserving the integrity of our agriculture heritage here in the Valley. And the Two Forks Club, which I'm also a part of, that's making 0% interest loans to beginning farmers and food entrepreneurs. And so with all these different kind of resources, we're really kind of uniquely positioned to change that paradigm of the farmers first making such a small amount. I mean, sure, it's still not going to be a lucrative field, but we can do a little bit better than that. And then at the same time, also kind of creating that system that will allow for future farmers to exist and to thrive. And the Roaring Fork Valley is really at the forefront of a lot of that in Colorado, and it's a very exciting place to be.
And you mentioned all these different programs. Do you see the local schools as well maybe incorporating it in some of their education classes, or is that still in the private sector like you have on at Farm Collaborative?
So there's some work, but it's very, very subtle. So one of the programs that we have at the Farm Collaborative is an extended classroom where teachers are invited to bring their classes and to utilize the space as an extended classroom for their own programs and kind of use the space to incorporate agriculture and really actually e-STEM learning, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics through that environmental lens, using our farm as a classroom setting. And some schools certainly have a little more than others. Our charter schools and some of our more integrated private schools have a little more bandwidth and curriculum to incorporate some of these things, but it certainly needs a much more robust push, if you will, from the education platform to be a career pathway that's really one of the main ones that's looked at, which is what we're going to really need moving forward.
So all you future farmers out there, this is a labor of love. This is something that becomes part of your life, and you get joy just from seeing the harvesting and the growth and what is going to be of the future. That's for the future farmers, and you'll be their teachers and their guidance. One of the things I'm curious about, because I hear this word thrown around a lot, Cooper, maybe you want to answer this. What does the word sustainability mean to you? What does that mean for someone like me to understand?
Well, it's a word that's, I think, in a way has lost its value because of how overused it is. A lot of large corporations are calling themselves sustainable or having a sustainable initiative. So it's getting a little bit washed out and then is sort of being replaced with regenerative, which is now in the same process of being diluted a little bit. But to me, sustainability is resiliency. So it's the ability to adapt, and it's the ability to hold everything interconnected and hold everything in a mutually beneficial relationship. And so that means, agriculture alone cannot be sustainable. It is agriculture as a part of its community, as a part of the environment in which it's surrounded and integrated with. And so to me, sustainability is is the creation of a complex system that benefits all users and has the ability to constantly adapt. So you creating a sustainable system is not creating one that is a static system. It is creating a dynamic system. It is creating something that has constant feedback and is always re-envisioning itself, is how I see sustainability. It's referred to as dynamic equilibrium. And I really like that term because there's, you know, when you think of sustainability, you may think of kind of the straight and narrow, maybe, mm-hmm. or as this a plane that you're traveling along. Maybe, you know, if we envision it as a straight line, that's actually not how it will ever work out. There are always ups and downs. There is always oscillation in any system. In nature, every population is always in flux. And so to me, sustainability is constantly adapting and creating the connections and the resiliency and the diversity to be able to adapt to a changing environment.
I don't want to talk too long on this, but what are some of the challenges that you feel that you're going through right now? Some of the things that you may want to really concentrate on moving forward with? Is it the animals? Is it the ground, the dirt, the vegetables, the produce?
Well, yes, everything. Everything poses challenges. I think one of the biggest challenges that we're dealing with right now is sort of this sense of urgency. And there's sort of conflicting ideas that we really want to take our time and learn from the system and create that feedback and adapt our system to what we see. And we really want to integrate that. But on the other hand, we are feeling that things need to happen pretty quickly. There's a lot of, you know, our change needs to be imminent. And so there's kind of this tough part where we're trying to do a lot because a lot needs to happen. And it's really great to be in this community and have the support that we have. That's what's making it possible. But we're going through growing pains. And that's kind of the biggest challenge that we're going through right now as an organization is just really scaling up and feeling like there's so much that needs to be done. And what are we gonna do?
Well, it seems that there is a local and a national food movement right now. I mean, we have documentaries out there. We have people talking about it. We have people excited about it and trying to learn about it. So it is almost groundbreaking. And I would assume the challenges would be in how fast you grow and making sure you get it right and getting the right people on board and so forth. But the Valley itself, you feel is for the growth of this type of the farm and what you're all doing out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Valley's been just so incredibly supportive. We're actually in a capital campaign right now. We're raising $6 million to build out a thought leadership learning center that will be everything from a preschool to a kind of a community learning center for the programs that we already host, as well as a kind of a farmer incubator space. And as well as to build out the rest of our campus. And it's just been so amazing to see this community get behind this cause. We've actually already raised close to $3 million of that. And it's just going really, really great. So I think we're in a great place to make it happen. There's really strong community support and momentum. And as Cooper said, it is urgent and as difficult as it is to find the balance of really adapting and learning and growing as we see the changes that happen on the ground and at the same time making this change happen quickly so that it can spread and tackle climate change because it's our biggest existential challenge right now. It is going really, really well and the support that we've seen from the community has been exceptional.
That's great. So let's talk immediate summer, this summer. What would you like the message to be to everybody? What can they do? What would you like to see happen? What's going on at the farm?
So I think something that everyone can do is just think about what they eat. and there are so many incredible farmers here in the Roaring Fork Valley that are really putting their heart and soul into the food that they produce. And you can taste it. I mean, there is just a whole world of difference between what the farmers are doing and what we get in the grocery stores. And so I think something that everyone can do, and they would benefit dramatically from it immediately, is go to their farmers market, go to their local farms, and just taste some of that magic that's being produced here in the Valley. If folks feel called to the work that we're doing, I'd love for them to reach out, and I can give them a tour, and they can see if our capital campaign is a match for their charitable giving.
Well, you brought desires. It up, so let's not wait to the end, which is when I was going to do it. Tell everybody how they can reach you.
So they can reach us through our website at www.thefarmcollaborative.org. They could also reach me directly at 970-379-2323, or they can just stop by. We always have someone at the farm. We operate our farm as a town park. We actually call a big section of the farm the farm park, and so people are always welcome to come and visit and check it out, or join one of our kids programs. We're running the Earth Keepers Community Day Camp, which was actually started by John Denver, and it's just a wonderful community program that connects children to nature while giving them a chance to interact with our farm animals and learn about where their food comes from.
And the babies are there. The baby goats are there.
The baby goats are there.
I know the baby goats are there. Where exactly are you?
We're at Cozy Point Ranch, which is 6 miles from Aspen, kind of between Aspen and Basalt. Cozy Point Ranch is at 220 Juniper Hill Road. It's that ranch that's on the side of Highway 82 where you see the big old red barn. And our facility is surrounded by what is the geodesic greenhouse dome. So you can see that from the highway, that little, what looks like a UFO landing in the middle of Cozy Point. Or you might also notice the chickens or sheep or some of the garden systems right along Highway 82.
Yes, I've seen the sheep recently. I think I saw them this morning as well, mm-hmm. sitting out there. Yeah. The question also comes up quite a bit when we're talking about farming in the community, especially in these communities. Are you open to the public? Can the public come and buy what you've harvested? Are you in that retail or wholesale market, or where are you at with that?
So we certainly do sell our product. That you can find it at the Aspen Saturday Market. Our organization is, what we're really growing and cultivating is learning and education for youth, as well as kind of growing this movement of farmers and doing what we can to support our local farmers. So, we're certainly looking to support our local farmers as much as we are to support what we're doing out there at the farm. Yes, you can find our product at the Aspen Saturday Market. You can also find a lot of wonderful product from some of our other amazing farmers at the Aspen Saturday Market as well.
Yes, that's true. And farm animals, what do you have on the farm?
We've got, the farm park, we're kind of, we go for diversity. Really, we're trying to create the inspirational spark that I mentioned I had when I was in fourth grade. And so we've got all kinds of different animals. We've got, a small litter of baby goats. We've got alpacas. We've got rabbits out there. We've got chickens. We've even got some fish. And I think that's what we've got. And then over, if you look over to your right when you're driving into town on 82, we've got two different flocks of sheep out there and a bunch of laying hens for egg production.
And what's the big dome that people see? The yurt.
Well, so the yurt and the dome are a separate structure. The yurt is a little learning space. The dome is a geodesic tropical greenhouse. So the fully integrated tropical ecosystem that uses very little energy input to maintain tropical conditions year-round, while kind of synergizing and integrating a whole diversity of high-tech and low-tech functions to create a growing space that could really draw out that inspiration and that wow in children and community members when they walk into it. So while you can at times get children inspired by growing kale, and that may be enough to connect them to the food system. For others, it's those seeing bananas, at 8,000 feet that's really going to do it. So the dome is really kind of that spark center, if you will.
Well, we're getting to wrap up right now, and I want everybody to go to farmcollaborative.org.
Farmcollaborative.org.
You are welcome to stop by and have a tour and get all the information. And everybody is here. Do you have any final words that you'd like to say, Adam?
Yeah, just one more thing. I just want to invite everybody. We're doing a program in partnership with the Aspen Institute and Aspen Film. This coming Monday, the Aspen Institute will be screening The Biggest Little Farm, which is a wonderful film about this movement and what's happening on a national level. I recommend everyone to catch that if they can. We'll be doing a little Q&A as well, which I'll be a part of after that screening, and that's at the Pepke Auditorium. So
well,
join us on Monday.
Yes, I got my ticket, and I will see the two of you there. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, be at peace with each other. We are all in this game of life at the exact time. Bye for now.
Thanks for having us.